Who wrote this? We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
Way to keep it classy, Canada.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Make them pay.
With chemistry, you can melt ice. You can't control the pop if you don't control the pop. The button stopped working. I've had to press it so many times.
Toothpaste, Fenris wolf, and rotations per minute.
It's a love affair.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, do not adjust your computer. Turn the volume up on your speakers and break the knob off. Crack yourself open to Molson Canadian as we welcome you to episode 39 of Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. This is being recorded Wednesday, April 2nd, 2014. This is the Meat Beast. And in tonight's episode, we're going to talk about some healthy scratches, some comebacks. Some practice skates and fun injuries, and a new Nordic acquisition. To my right, with the upper sinus injury, is Kenny.
What up?
And
upper sinus.
to my left, getting body checked by technical difficulties all evening so far, is Jive.
Hey.
And satelliting in from the Bay Area, we've got Aaron.
G'day, mate.
All right, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Three in the Box. A little special thing we got for you there.
That is freaking awesome.
All right. Is this the first time we've actually tried to do a phone-in? I thought this was the second, so we still don't quite have it down. We started a little bit late. If we seem a little irritable, that might be why. But it was mainly Drive trying to deal with technical difficulties.
Yeah. Wait a minute. You can't just put it all on me now.
I said it was mainly you.
John's right. Technical difficulties where he couldn't find Channel 14 on the console.
I didn't.
Well, you know, at least he brought his laptop today, right?
He did. He said he's leaving it here. Yeah,
it's staying here. So we won't have our sample issues as we did last week.
Even if you can't, I didn't insinuate that he just didn't know numbers. I actually tried to imply it was something technical.
Numbers?
Numbers.
Yeah, like channel 14.
Why does this say 41? Yeah. Where's 14? This says 41.
Oh, great. So everybody's had a good week so far. It's been a couple of weeks for me. I got stuck at work the last couple of shows, so it's nice to be back. And it's kind of weird to be sitting in this chair using this microphone, although I do think I have to buy one of these now. Thank you, Aaron, for letting me use that. Everybody have a good week?
Yeah,
not bad. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Aaron, California, treating
I'm on vacation, bitches.
Yeah.
All right.
We know you're doing all right. What's the temp down there anyways? Can they make ice?
It actually didn't get very warm today. It only got to like 62.
Oh, is that it? I bet you were wearing shorts still though, right? No?
Actually, I wasn't because I was on a bike ride and it was like 45 this morning, so I was like,
man.
Okay, no. Yeah, I know it's a working vacation and you're down there to check out the ice at the new rink for the San Francisco Ferries.
It's the longshoreman.
Oh, the longshoreman. Sorry, I thought they were going with ferries. Well, F-E-R-R-Y-S, bastards.
I did threaten to take my wife to a Sharks game, so.
Nice. Fun.
Instead we're going to go to a A's game, I think tomorrow, actually, so.
A what game?
We lost you for a second.
I'm going to an Oakland A's game tomorrow.
Oh, cool. That's fun.
All right. They started playing hockey instead of baseball? Because,
you know, we're about to get, you know, a foot of snow, and the Twins aren't going to be opening their season here anytime soon.
Well, shall we get into it, gentlemen?
Let's do it.
All right.
So, yeah, the Wild kind of had a up-and-down week. Huge, huge down against St. Louis, losing 5-1 last Thursday. Nice comeback against Phoenix Saturday. 3 goals in the last 8 minutes of the game or something like that. And then I was kind of surprised. Played pretty good against the Kings. Some injuries out of that game, though.
Yeah, that was also a comeback, though, on the Kings game. Because they were down 2-1 at the halfway mark of the game.
Or in the third, even.
Yeah, and going into the third. They held on strong. and I couldn't believe it. I walked away for a couple of minutes. I was working and had to walk away from watching the telly for a few seconds, and then somebody ran down, yeah, the Wild won it 3-2. It's like a bit shocked and pretty happy about that.
Yep. That was definitely a good win to have there against one of the top teams in the league. I think that bodes to say a little something.
It helps. It helps put a feather in the cap, especially after the losses that we've taken against some of the top tier teams, starting with, you know, all the way back to St. Patrick's Day, playing the Bruins in Boston on St. Pat's.
But Boston was on a tear. Did their streak end?
I don't know. Huh. I don't think so. Yeah.
Does it matter?
I think we got the Bruins coming up again.
Yeah,
too. I think
coming up on the 8th of April. Yep. So. Tuesday night.
I got to say, though, you know, we had three road games this last week, and to come away with 4 points against those three teams is actually pretty stunning.
That's a positive.
I actually tend to agree with you. I just wish it wouldn't all be on, like, we always end up going down early or we end up losing. Like, if we take the lead early in the game, we end up losing.
Well, but to say something, though, a lot of, in the Wild's history, a lot of times if they were down, you would just assume, well, it's over. Now I can have at least a little bit of faith, though, I think.
I've had less faith recently because I've watched them come back so often.
Yeah.
And that, which is why I'll never leave a game early until it is done. I will not leave the arena.
Hey, Aaron, did Larissa let you watch the game on Monday in real time?
I did catch part. Surprisingly, my hotel actually has NBC Sports.
Nice.
Which I was seriously shocked by. She was a little irritated as I was flipping through channels trying to find if we had it. Ancient TV, you know, change channels, and it would take like 3 seconds for the channel to actually like lock in. So it's probably 15 minutes trying to find it, and I did. So I caught probably 20 minutes of the first, between the first and second period. So I didn't get to see the real good stuff, the win, but, you know, I'll take what I can get when I'm in San Francisco and I can actually see the Wild game.
No kidding.
It sounds like San Francisco's infrastructure needs some work.
Insofar as being able to watch some hockey,
No, internet, Wi-Fi, Sprint, TV.
Well,
we're good.
Aaron, it also sounds like you got a theory on these last two wins.
Yeah, it was actually kind of crazy because, you know, coming out of that that horrible St. Louis game, the Wild had a day off, and actually they couldn't. They had a league mandated day off, so basically they were told they could not meet with the team with like management.
What?
And all the captains from the team actually gathered the team together and had a players only meeting. And shortly after that meeting, right before the Coyotes game, it was announced that Danny Heatley was going to be scratched. He had a terrible performance in St. Louis, and for the first time in his career, he's being given a healthy scratch. And he was actually scratched in the Coyotes game, and he's scratched in the LA game. I know we've been very critical about Heatley's play this season, but considering the Wild have now won two games in a row with him sitting in the press box, is he done for the season? I mean, what about the rest of the season? Is his career effectively over?
I don't think so. You know, it could just be coincidental that Heatley happened to be a healthy scratch for the two games. I think, if anything, though, it's hopefully at least sending a message to him and to maybe some of the other players that haven't been playing up to snuff that are longtime veterans.
That was more where I was leaning on it as well. I think this might have been a move just to go, hey, you know, you haven't really been performing all year. When you have been doing good, it really was kind of not good enough. So how about we just sit you for a minute and let everybody else have some fun on the ice and see what happens. And we come away with a couple of W's.
And I mean, that's kind of falls along with my opinion a little bit too, is that basically you just want to probably get some of your younger guys a little bit more experience in the big show, you know? Just there's only a few games left for them to gain some of that experience, and heaven forbid you come across any injuries, you're going to need them to be able to play come playoff time.
Yeah, I totally agree. And sorry, Aaron, go ahead.
Oh, and I was going to say, and it should be noted, in March, Heatley only had 2 points. And for a guy who's not the strongest defensively, he needs to step. He needed to step up his defensive game in order to make his lack of scoring not be noticed. And he didn't step up his defensive game. He made some really costly turnovers in that St. Louis game, and he's made a few this whole in the whole month of March. But that, even though Yo said that wasn't the straw that broke the camel's back, it kind of looks like it was.
I can't imagine that Yo would just flat out say, no, we're benching him because he sucks, though.
That doesn't quite sound like a Yo thing.
Yeah, and that's probably not what you want to do to somebody who you pay that kind of dollars to, because that can turn them on you in a heartbeat as well.
And make
a bad situation even worse, really.
Yeah, I always expected Yo to just skate him until his whole body gave out and he had a heart attack on the ice. To be fair,
I was hoping he was just gonna go drink some Bacardi.
Damn it, Kenny stole my line.
Oh, sorry, Aaron.
Giggity.
I figured you were gonna go there.
Yeah. You are one pathetic loser.
I figured you were gonna go there, and I was gonna take advantage of the delay, beat you to it.
Oh,
mission accomplished.
Yes, very well done there. Very well done. I think this might be the downside of his career. It could be the beginning of the end of it. He is on his last year with the Wild right now.
Yep.
I'm confident they're going to try and get rid of him to somebody. But it just...
I don't know who else he would sign with at this point.
Exactly.
I don't know who else would sign him.
We're past the trade deadline. I mean, I guess someone like San Jose could sign him for a cheap deal, but wherever he's going to go, it's going to be... He's going to be, you know, bottom of the barrel price-wise, an offensive forward who can't play offense.
Yeah, he
doesn't have a lot of value.
Yeah. He hasn't done anything for his stock value this year.
So we're saying he's going to be wearing a Toronto sweater next year?
No. I was thinking...
Sorry, good reasons.
He's going back to Ottawa.
I was thinking Buffalo.
Oh, nice, nice.
It could be a landing point. They need some help up there now.
Or the German league?
They're giving everything away.
Well, and yeah.
He'd be a stopgap, actually. I mean, that's not a bad call, actually.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, you heard it here first, folks. This is where we're guessing he's going to end up. All right, Jive.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Speaking of age here, not talking about old people now. Now we're talking about... some young talent. The Minnesota Wild have signed with they've signed the Swedish defenseman Christian Folin. Basically, he went undrafted, but he was being scouted by several NHL teams, and he's kind of basically said to be NHL ready. I mean, he's 6'3", 210 pounds. I mean, he's a good sized boy. So, but another defenseman, and I mean, I don't know how many defensemen that makes now that they've picked up on the young side here, but that I don't know. I guess I question number one where they're kind of going with all the defensive pickups they've got. Suter locked up. I think we have a couple of solid defensemen already. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do. The nice thing is though is if they can start getting him cheap and bringing him up in the system, he turns out good. They've got solid trade bait later down the line.
Very true. Well, I don't know. Go ahead, Aaron.
You know, there's a saying that you can never have too much of anything, especially as young talent. And even if he's not a guy that's in our long-term plan, I think we've got guys right now that are coming closer to, RFA or UFA status, where we can trade those guys that, you know, as much as I like a guy like Scandella or Stoner, they're on a championship team, they'd probably be third line D at best. And so why not try to move those guys before they become expensive if we've got young talent waiting in the wings to, you know, fill their shoes?
Well, and to be fair, we've had a lot of issues with defensemen this year. It's been something that we kept looking at the beginning of the season. We were talking about how we had some veterans and we had a little more depth than we're plagued by injury on it. So having the defensemen set up now, they might be overreacting a little bit at this moment, but I don't think too bad, and I totally agree with the trade point argument there.
Well, you know, you get the young entry-level contracts. You know, that leaves your cap space open for some of the bigger players to sign if you got the talent.
Very true. And that's part of my question is because I think that we need a little bit more offensive help right now. I really think that we need to be putting up more goals. We need to depend less on our goalies not letting in more than one or two goals in a game. I mean, because you're going to have those games where 3, 4, 5 goals go in, but we need to be able to respond with our own.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to disagree. I think, yes, we need to score goals. All teams that if they're going to win are going to need to score goals. But we need bigger forwards. And so maybe that turns into trading a Stoner or a Scandella and flipping them for a bigger forward, a young forward that can move in. I don't want to say Coyle, but Coyle would probably be a good example of a bigger kid that can actually play along the boards and get to some of those pucks. Because we got a lot of finesse and fast guys, but they get beat on the boards like nobody's business. And so we need some bigger forwards to complement our faster skill guys.
All right, and here's another thought on that same topic. Do you think possibly that they might just be trying to stack as much talent into the pool as possible for whoever might be replacing Yo if he doesn't go deep enough in the playoffs this year to justify keeping him?
Well, they should be. I mean, and if a GM's doing his job right, that's what he's going to do. He's going to try to sign as much talent as he can.
He's not worried
about
the coach.
For as little as he is. No, the coach isn't his thing. Yeah. The coaches can get fired and hired, you know, left without a problem. You know, signing that big talent for multi-years, if they're actually going to have talent, you know, coaches are expendable.
I somewhat agree. I just think he might be trying to set up to go, regardless of what coaching style another coach may have, they're going to walk in and be able to maneuver however they want, and we can take their advice to get the team to play that style.
I think the whole style argument is a little overrated, with the exception of someone like Jacques Lemaire, who plays a trap. Look at all the championship teams for like the last 7 years. They've all had a complement. They had good goalies. I mean, that's a doubt. They had enough skill forwards and then some big, like, body forwards. So basically a team that could do the dump and chase. They could also do a possession game, but they weren't just pigeonholed to doing one or the other. Right now, the Wild team it can do the possession game, but once that team, an opposing team, clogs down the neutral zone, there's like no chance, and they lose the dump and chase because they don't have the size to beat the defenders off the pucks. So I think Fletcher's setting up whoever, if Yo is here next year or whoever, I think he's just following what is now the NHL formula. And I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
So one more question on this point that I would have to say here is, because it seems that as of late we're able to, you know, sign on a lot of new young talent, and we're getting these players to kind of buy in and like, I mean, he was an undrafted player, so he had his choice. I mean, I don't know what other offers might have been made or put up there for him, but it seems that we might be becoming more of a desirable spot for the younger talent. Is that, you guys agree with that?
I think we've always been a pickup from the low end of the system, like pick up the youth and try and develop them and then get them into the team since the team's inception.
No, Josh, I think you're missing Jive's question on this one. Are we becoming a team that players want to go to?
Right.
Unlike the Risenborough era where everybody was trying to leave and scatter, are we the team, I mean, with obviously with the Parisian Suter signings, you know, are we the team that players would actually want to go to now?
I'd actually argue yes then. I totally have to agree with that.
It should be noted that Follin also played in Austin, Minnesota, and I believe it's one of the, you know, minor, not minor leagues, but amateur leagues.
I think
traveling teams.
North American Hockey League, I think.
That's what it was. Yeah. So I mean, he has experience in Minnesota, so it's not that far of a stretch for him to go, I really enjoyed it there. This team needs a defenseman. They're already telling me that I might get to skate this year, and they're going to pay me really well. We have a lot to offer, at least for him. For a young forward, we may not have that same sort of opportunity, but it seems like he had the right combination of skills, and we had enough things to offer him that it would be very beneficial for him.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. I'm actually going to jump a little bit. I'm going to adjust some topics here and just keep on the topic of defense. Keith Ballard did travel with the team and practice skate with them on Tuesday before the Phoenix game. They're still not announcing he's going to be back at any point. They're not making any prognostications or any of that, but it's still a good sign. Any bets on whether they're going to, whether he'll be back by the end of the season, and will it actually help offset the constant shuffling of the forwards, providing some stability to the blue line?
I don't know if he'll be back. I mean, he seems like he's been injury plagued quite a bit this season, and when he hasn't been injury plagued, he's been healthy scratch.
And last season.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really see him doing a lot unless we start losing a ton of our blue liners.
I agree. I think even if he's healthy, unless there's another injury to someone, because Follin, he's not playoff eligible. So if we do the makeoffs and there's an injury to a defenseman, Ballard's in. But I think effectively his time, barring injury, his time with the Wild is pretty much done.
I think so.
Drive you one way on that one at all? Or
I probably just along the same lines as what you guys are saying. It's that, I mean, him and probably Heatley, as we spoke of before, even though Heatley's not coming back from an injury. But I think, as we wind down the season here, we're not looking at seeing those guys.
All right. Aaron, I think you got an injury report for us.
Since we're speaking of injuries, today I think it's been let out that Granlin was injured in that L.A. game. And right now it's just being called an upper body injury stemming from the hit he tried to lay out on Jared Stahl. If it turns out to be another injury, which is a possibility because it looked like his head hit Stahl's shoulder, can the Wild afford to lose him for the remaining six games and any potential playoff run? I mean, how important is he to the Wild going deep in the playoffs at all?
Well, I would have to say that he's been a huge part of any success that the Wild have had this year. So if that is the case, I think that the team will miss him dearly, and that would hurt any chances they have of advancing past the first round.
I tend to agree. He's been very good at making sure to get the assists up, and why Pominville's been putting numbers up. And just great on his line for helping develop plays and making things happen. I think it will hurt us in the long run if he is not able to be in there for the playoffs, even though he doesn't really have the experience in the playoffs yet.
No, exactly. But, I mean, he does have Olympic playoff experience now. I mean, playing with some amazing, amazing hockey players that I think will definitely help him first round of playoffs for sure, although this, says NHL, not the IIHF.
It's a little different.
I think it's definitely going to hurt. I mean, right now, just looking at the lines that were practiced, you got Koivu, Halla, and then Brodziak and Dowell got pulled up for our four centers. Halla went from a fourth-line center. Now he's up at a second-line position.
I don't think that hurts, though.
And so far on the season, he's got 8 goals and 33 assists in 63 games. Not amazing numbers, but nothing to scoff at, especially with that high of an assist count.
Well, he's been feeding Pominville all year.
He's a playmaker, which is why I think it'll hurt us.
Well, that and aside from being a playmaker, I mean, he was drafted as a scorer. So the fact that he's been adaptable to be a guy who can dish it as well. It's a great thing. As you guys have said, he's got tournament experience. This is just, Stanley Cup playoffs is just another tournament. It might be the most important tournament in North America for hockey fans, but I think there was there's another thing is that, the Wild fared well when Koivu and Parisi were out. They were still able to win games somehow. So maybe, losing Granlund for an extended period, obviously it hurts their chances, but I don't know that it necessarily kills their chances.
Well, yeah, in the end, it's still a team sport, and it requires, we've discussed it, more than just one or two lines. We need all four lines to be performing very well if we plan to move anywhere. But I still think that would leave a gaping hole if we were missing him.
Tendulkar and I also totally agree. We've had four lines that have actually been able to rotate well recently, for a decent bit of time, especially saying when you bring up the fact that, say, Koivu or any of the injuries that we've been rotating through, which we have been a bit injury plagued this season, they've proven that they actually have a lot more depth this year by it not overall affecting the game.
Looks like they might have to bring the All-Star back.
No, Nino made it back for Chicago.
Speaking of making it back in Chicago, when the Wild showed up to their practice skate, they had a pleasant surprise of a suited up for the practice skate, Josh Harding.
Oh.
So he actually joined them on their practice today at the practice arena that they get to use just a couple of blocks away from the United Center. And yeah, no talk of when he's actually going to return, but does this bode for a last-second return like we saw last season?
No.
A little too late?
I think so. Yeah, basically, he would still need to make sure that he got back into hockey form after being away for, a few months now. That's a tall order to...
He has been practice skating with lower-level teams like the American Hockey League and the IHL, he's been skating in the minors just to start working on it, and his crack jokes about how it was nice to be able to stop some pucks that weren't NHL-level pucks, but at least stopping them.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm going to say, Kemper's injured, and Harding practicing is not a big deal. The fact that he's in Chicago practicing... I think the writing's on the wall. He's going to be a backup at some point. Because usually they don't bring guys along with if they're just going to be sitting around.
Yep.
You raise a good point.
And that was kind of what I was thinking, too. And it's about the same time frame that he stepped back in last year once Backstrom injured himself. Putting it right on target for the same thing he did last year, which I want to say I predicted earlier this season on this show. I could be wrong there.
So, yeah, we kind of hit on Wild in Chicago for tomorrow night's game. After that, Wild head home to play the Penguins on Saturday, and then back-to-back Monday, Tuesday in Winnipeg, and then the dreaded Bruins here on Tuesday.
Ooh. Fun. That does bring us to the game of the week. All right, and it looks like Jive won this one last week.
Woo-woo!
So, Jive predicted...
Hockey fans are special.
Yes. Great, cute. So, yeah, with his prediction of 3-2 Wild on the game against the Coyotes, he was the closest pick out of any of us. So now it's 10 aggregate points for Aaron, 10 aggregate points for Jive, 8 for Kenny, and 8 for myself. This could end up in a four-way tie by the end of the season. But that also allowed you to pick the game of the week. Jive.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to pick, let's see here. Let's go for tomorrow night's game, the Blackhawks.
All right.
I still wish so bad for a really hardcore rivalry between us and the Blackhawks again. So... let this begin. I think you get the first pick, Aaron, so why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, and we might face him in the playoffs, so it's a good chance that we could potentially continue this rivalry. I'm gonna be once again. I'm gonna be the lone person dissenting. I'm gonna go with the Blackhawks winning 3-2. I'm probably gonna make it feel bad about it when the Wild win, but I'll feel good. So, and actually, with that, guys, I gotta bounce here. So, I hope you guys have a great rest of the podcast, and then I'm out of here.
Thanks, Aaron.
Later.
Thanks, Aaron. Thank you very much for joining us on your vacation.
Okay, take it easy, guys.
Later.
All right, Kenny, what's your pick for the?
I'm going with the Wild 3-2.
All right, I also picked the Wild, but I'm saying 4-2. I think it's going to be a little more. It's not going to be a runaway game, but it's going to be a bit more aggressive than we've seen out of them recently.
And Jive the big wiener.
That's right, buddy.
That's what she said.
No, I said the big wiener, not with the big wiener.
And I'm going to have to go with the Wild win in this one as well. I'm going to go with a little bit lower scoring game, though, 2-1. I think we're going to have some goaltending that's going to show up and prove well for us there.
So shall we get into some,
yeah,
some
I think,
college?
I think we definitely need to get into some college.
So about the only college that's left right now is the NCAA championship. This past weekend, the Gophers men kind of took it. They smoked St. Cloud State 4-0 in the regional final to now go on for the semifinal game for the one and only time this season playing North Dakota.
Nodak. I think I could quote you guys as last year saying that the Gophers won't get to play in North Dakota at all this
now that,
year.
That was this season at the beginning of
was
the
that
season.
The beginning of
yeah,
the season?
The beginning yeah,
and
of the
it
season.
Was very much specified that unless it was for the national championship.
All the drinking and drugs sends it back further in my memory.
Fair enough, fair enough. It just brings it to the forefront in mind. Speaking right. of which, do you mind reloading me there, sir?
Sure.
Thank you kindly.
So here's a question. Is this a good or a bad thing not seeing North Dakota until a very, very important make it or break it game?
I honestly think it depends on how many of the guys remember how brutally evil that rivalry is.
Well, you know, North Dakota's always been a physical team and always have played really physical against the Gophers too.
Yeah, yeah. I very much agree. And like I said, it's gonna come down to the muscle memory. Are they gonna be all raw? Oh God, we hate these guys. Do they still have the little Gopher icons on their bubble hockey tables in the North Dakota in Ralph Engelstad Arena?
I have no idea.
Huh. Exactly.
That's a good question.
And where are they playing?
That is...
Where is the championship this year?
In my opinion, anytime...
ESPN 2?
ESPN U?
2.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Oh, God.
How was that for some BS, too?
Hey, moi. What?
How was that for some BS? I didn't even... Comcast won't even give me ESPN U without having to buy an additional sports package.
Oh,
so
when will these cable companies go away? I just want to buy, like, a la carte. Let me watch this hockey game for 50 cents at home or something, you know?
Championship and semis are in Philly. A week from tomorrow is the semis, and then the following Saturday is the championship.
And in my opinion, I mean, obviously it'll be a neutral ice there, but anytime you have a border battle such as this, I think that brings about a little bit of more competitiveness.
I'll say. Think it will come down to whether the guys still have the fight in them to play the Sioux. And I'm going to call them the Sioux. Sorry.
That's it. Now we lost all of our Red Lake fans.
You know, I don't know. North Dakota is also the only one who is not top seed in their bracket to win. So they were the number 4 seed in their bracket to take out Wisconsin and then Ferris State.
They're still a really strong team.
Oh, absolutely.
And they might still have the taste looking for Gopher blood very heavily. And I'm just worried that the Gophers might not be looking to take them out as hard as they would if it was still the border battle.
I think it'll be a good game. I just we'll see.
Yeah. I think, do it. Anybody else have anything they want to talk about this week?
Oh, I think that's good. Let's wrap
just
this up.
Car's still,
give me a semi.
Car's still working well for you, Kenny?
Yeah.
I saw that you were still afraid to park in the driveway, even though all the snow's gone.
Drive, everything's good at the home front?
Yeah, I think so.
And Aaron's on vacation, so yeah.
We know he's doing all right.
Great. So it's been a swell show, guys. But the swelling's going down. This is The Meat Beast. You can follow me on facebook.com/TheMeatBeast. Check me out on the Clubhouse show on Cyanet Radio. This will be airing on Cyanet Radio tomorrow night at 9 p.m. And followed immediately by The Buzzkill Show. Thank you for tuning in.
And I'm Jive, and you can follow me. I'm on Twitter at Jive Midnight. Kenny?
Yeah, this is Kenny. You can follow me at RottenK999 or usually tweeting for at 3 in the box during the Wild games, usually along with Aaron and sometimes Jive and, you know, bantering back and forth with our Finnish Wild Mafia.
And yeah, I did give a shout out to the hashtag of Finnish Wild Mafia from the Clubhouse show last night live, and everybody kind of looked at me and went, "You just gave a shout out to a hashtag? Really?"
Yep.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen.
Good night.